Hey, really quick before the episode starts here, I have to make a correction from the last episode, Obsession with David Allred, the last episode that I did. We talk a lot about Von Vitti, the creator of that David and I were both fans of, that we lost. And I just say over and over and over again in that episode, I say that Von Vitti's real name is Joe McCluskey. And I was listening back to the episode and looking right at his Instagram, and it's right there. It's Joe McClinsky. I said his name wrong the entire episode, and I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I can't believe in an episode where I was trying to honor this person and honor their memory. I just over and over and over again said their last name wrong. Hugely embarrassed about that. Joe McClinsky is his name. Rest in peace, Joe McClinsky. Okay, here's the show. Yo, it's me. What's up? How's it going? Yeah, I know the episode says live from the Toronto International Film Festival, and that makes it sound like I would be live at like a venue or something with an audience, right? That's usually what it means when podcasts say like live from this place. It means that they're live at a place, that they recorded an episode live with an audience at a venue. People bought tickets and then they were, you know, but this is just live in the same way that all of the episodes are technically live, in that I'm alive right now and I'm doing this live and unscripted from an Airbnb in Toronto. So yeah, I mean, this is going to be kind of a short episode. I guess I just thought I'd invite you in a little bit into my life as of late and into this little trip that I've taken. I'm sick today. I've had a great trip so far. Great. I got into town last Thursday, the 7th. And I've just had a wonderful time. But I woke up today. It's Wednesday the 13th. And I woke up today, sore throat, fever, you know, chills. I'm sick. And I'd been feeling this coming on since before I traveled. My lymph nodes got really swollen in my neck a couple days before I was traveling. And I was like, don't you dare. Don't you dare. Don't you dare do it. You know, and I was taking my wellness formula. That's what I take, wellness formula from Whole Foods. It's the shit. It's just this like all-in-one multivitamin immunity booster thing. And I was taking that and my super lysine to try to boost my immunity, my immune system, and be strong and hold off the cold. And I held it off for like, you know, my first week while I was here in town. And today it burst through the dam. And I'm hoping that today's the worst of it. I'm hoping that today is the worst day. I didn't go out today. I've been out in the city every single day. I've been watching movies. I've seen so many good movies. I've seen a couple that were fine, but mostly I've been really, really happy with the movies that I've seen. The local Toronto folks have been lovely, and I've you know, hung out with several people who were locals. I've hung out with several people who lived down the street from me in LA, and I didn't even know it. We like met each other at, you know, we met each other here at the festival and found out that we live 5 minutes away from each other in Los Angeles. It took us coming to Toronto to meet. It's been a great trip. But today I laid low. I've been working on this YouTube video in my spare time while I've been in town. If you follow me on TikTok, which I assume if you listen to this podcast you do, you might be aware of like the little back and forth I had with that Trump-loving lady Lisa on TikTok, who she made a TikTok where she was like, hey, Trump haters, how come you hate Donald Trump so much? No one's ever been able to explain it to me. And I made a video response to her. Lots of people did. Lots of people responded to her. Lots of people responded to her in her comments. Lots of people stitched her video, attempting to answer her insane question. I just burped, by the way, if you heard that. I'm pacing back and forth while doing this. I've never done it like this before. I'm always sitting when I do the podcast, whether I'm in a hotel somewhere, whether I'm in my parents' home in Utah, or whether I'm in the Blanket Fort recording studio. I'm always sitting, and I decided, I was like, what would it be like if I paced a little bit? So I'm just pacing back and forth in this Toronto condo. It's very Canadian in here. Everything's very Canadian. I had poutine for dinner. There's a book by Nick Nurse in here. Nick Nurse is the coach of the Toronto Raptors that won the championship with Kawhi Leonard that one year. There's a loony and a toonie in a little dish by my door. That's like Canadian currency, if you don't know. But yeah, Lisa. So I had this little back and forth. I made a video responding to Lisa where I just said, hey, come on, what am I going to do? Try to explain to you why people don't like Donald Trump, one of the least likable people in the history of people? No. What's more interesting is, why don't you explain to all of us why you like Donald Trump? That's a more interesting question. So I pushed the question back to Lisa. She responded as I figured she would. I was like, this is the kind of person who's not going to be able to avoid. She just won't be able to resist it. She responded. Her response was absolutely hog wild. Just the most unhinged. It's 7.5 minutes long, which for a TikTok video is long. But it's like, it feels like it's an hour and a half long. It feels, it's got like an hour and a half's worth of bad takes, bad information, kind of everything she says in the video. Every single sentence is wrong. It's kind of bafflingly bad and wrong. And I was gonna just make a TikTok video responding to her, but as I watched the video, I was like, there's too much here. Like, every single sentence is something that needs to be responded to. Every single thing she's saying. So I wound up making a full YouTube video responding to her. It's almost an hour long responding to her response video. And I didn't even get to cover everything in her video. Her video has so many aspects of it that are wrong and so many aspects of it that are like fascinating. Like, I'm really trying to approach the video from like a character study angle, because I don't think it's really fair for me to try to debate with Lisa. It's also not very interesting. It's like the debate's won, right? Like, the central question of the conflict between Lisa and myself is, why is Donald Trump bad? And it's like, yeah, I've won the debate before we've begun, if that's the debate we're going to have. Donald Trump is bad, and Lisa is wrong for thinking he's not bad. And all of Lisa's justifications for all of the bad behavior that people keep putting in front of her regarding Donald Trump are bad and wrong and terrible. But what I'm more interested in is just sort of the psychology of Lisa, psychoanalyzing Lisa, trying to get inside, like, what makes her tick? Why does she see the world the way that she does? Because Lisa is representative of, you know, a not insignificant group of people in America. There are tens of millions of Lisas out there who are just as delusional as she is. So I made this whole YouTube video. I was editing it, you know, in the mornings before I'd head into Toronto, and I'd spend a couple hours a day just kind of chipping away at this thing. These YouTube videos, they take forever to edit. And I was just chipping away at it. When I'd get to a movie early, you know, you have to get to these screenings really early at the film festival. And I'd get to a screening early, and I'd put my headphones in, and I'd pull my phone out, and I'd start chipping away at that video, and I'd add another 30 seconds or you know, 3 minutes or 4 minutes to the video. And I worked on this thing for the last like 4 or 5 days straight. And today, when I woke up and I was sick, I was like, I'm going to finish that YouTube video today, because I'm not going to go out. I'm going to rest. I'm going to go to the pharmacy, get some medicine, and I'm going to stay inside and rest and finish that YouTube video. And I'm almost done with the video. I'm down to like the last 10 minutes of the video. And my editing software, randomly, it's never done this before, in 4 years of using this software, this has never happened. It just randomly deletes 70% of the audio in the video. So I record all of the audio with this microphone that I'm talking into right now for the podcast, and I import that audio into my video editing software, and then I match that audio up with the video, and I cut the video and the audio together. So all of the video was intact. All of the video clips were intact the way that I had cut them, but the matching audio clips were all gone. They just said file not found, and they were gone. And I looked everywhere I could. I did a, you know, troubleshooting online, trying to say, like, this can't be happening. There's no way that I just did this for 5 straight days and the editing software has just deleted all of my audio. But yeah, that happened. I got sick, been having a great trip, just cruising along, humming along. And I got to tell you, I was nervous about it. I don't know if any of you can relate to this. Maybe you do. But do you get, like, vacation anxiety ever as an adult that, like, you're not going to enjoy your trip sufficiently? That's a new kind of anxiety that I've started to experience lately in my life is, like, and I think it's more of a thing as you're an adult and you start spending more money on trips. When I used to go on trips when I was younger with my friends, our goal was to spend as little money as possible. I think that's always a good goal on vacation, to try to make it, you know, economical and stuff. But we would, you know, do like road trips, and we would eat fast food, and we would sleep in a tent or sleep in the back of someone's car. And, you know, my body had the elasticity to do that. But as an older person going on vacation, I want to enjoy nice things. I want to stay in a nice place. I want to eat at good food at good restaurants. I want to go to fun events, and all of that costs money. And so a vacation is a significant financial investment. You put a lot of money into it, and you start to feel this pressure of, like, what if I don't sufficiently enjoy this thing that I've invested all this money into? I'll be so bummed out if I put all this money into this vacation and then it's a bummer. Like, if it doesn't work out, if I just wind up being kind of bored there or not doing all of the things I want to do. And I will say this, I have accomplished all of the goals I wanted to accomplish in Toronto in the first 6 days that I was here. I'm here till Monday, so I still have 4 more days left on my trip to do whatever I want to do, so it's totally okay. I did all the things I wanted to do. I've been having a great time, but yeah, today, double whammy, get hit with the cold. That doesn't feel great. And then my editing software deletes all of this audio off of this video that I've been editing. So I had two options, two ways that I can problem solve this ridiculously annoying problem. And they're both not fun. One is I could re-import the full original audio file into the editing software and hunt through, it's an hour and a half long audio file, hunt through that audio file and find the matching sections of audio that I need, and then try to match them to the individual clips. And that would just be, that probably would have taken 4 or 5 hours to do. And at this point, this happened at like 4 p.m. today, and I'd already been editing all day long. And so I was like, yeah, if I do that, it'll take me another 4 or 5 hours. Or the other option I had is the camera that I shot on still had the camera audio intact. So all of the video clips that were arranged in the order that they were supposed to be arranged in still had the audio from the camera, which isn't as good as this microphone. It's not as it's a lot more spacious, and it has a lot more echo of the room, and it's not as concentrated. But it's there, and it would still be annoying because I would have to go through and individually unmute and extract the camera audio from each individual clip, but that would take less time than the other option. So that's what I did. I wound up using the camera audio for like the first 70% of the video. Very annoying, still very frustrating that happened at all. Still took me like an hour and a half to do that, to go through and like unmute all of the video clips individually and make sure that everything sounded all right. But I got the video done. is the happy ending of that story. Stuck with it, got it done. By the time you're listening to this podcast, it should be up if you want to go check it out. I'm making video essays now on YouTube. If you're not aware, that's a thing that I'm doing. They're kind of like this podcast. They're just a little more structured because the podcast, I'm sort of shooting from the hip. Right now, I'm literally, like I said, I'm just pacing back and forth in an Airbnb in Toronto, and it's more loose and free form. And the video essays, it's like a podcast because it's like, you know, between 30 and 50 minutes long. So it's like a longer discussion of a topic, but I try to craft it a little bit more so it feels a little bit more, the language of it feels more intentional. Everything that I say is said exactly how I want to say it or thereabouts. It's more specific. It's got a lot more little things and jokes edited into it. It's more entertaining. It's more of a crafted piece of content, whereas this is sort of a free-form improvised form of content. But anyway, that video is up right now on YouTube if you want to go check it out. Be advised, of course, of the bad audio quality for the first, you know, three quarters of it. But the festival, how's it going, right? Look, a lot of the movies out here are not AMPTP films, but a lot of the stars and movie stars that are in them, movie stars that worked on them, there's a lot of movie stars that directed films that are out here, aren't here. And I don't know. I guess I wasn't expecting that. I thought I was going to be like bumping into people in the street and stuff like that. But a lot of them didn't come. And I think it's just optics wise. It's just not a great look, I guess, they feel, for them to be out here while the strike is on. I mean, Chris Pine had his directorial debut. Chris Pine directed a film called Pool Man, and its international debut was here at TIFF, at the Toronto International Film Festival. This is the first time the movie's been shown to an audience anywhere in the world, and he wasn't here. He didn't come to it, and that's wild. I mean, that's crazy. But I was there. I watched it. I can tell you what I saw, and I'll tell you, this is without me like promoting. I'm not doing promotional work for any of these movies. And also a lot of these movies, I think all of them are not, were not made with any Struck companies. They might be getting purchased by Struck companies moving forward. They probably will get distribution deals. A lot of these movies will. But I am allowed to talk about them, and I'm also not really going to do this in a promotional way. I'm not going to tell you anything about the movies, just kind of what I've seen. I started the festival with a movie called Gonzo Girl. It was Patricia Arquette's directorial debut. She was there. Patricia Arquette came out, and she did a little talk back, and that movie starred Willem Dafoe as Hunter S. Thompson. Now, the character in the movie's name is Walker Reed, but it's Hunter S. Thompson. The movie is based on a book called Gonzo Girl that this woman wrote, it's a memoir about this period of time in the early 90s where she was a personal assistant to Hunter S. Thompson. And Hunter S. Thompson told her that she could publish the book. She just needed to change his name. But like, it's not like an amalgam or like a Hunter S. Thompson type of person. It's not like an amalgamation of Hunter S. Thompson and another person. Like, it's Hunter S. Thompson, and that's who Willem Dafoe is playing. Really great casting. He's fantastic. That's all I'll say about that movie. Then I saw a movie called How to Have Sex, which I really loved. Again, it was another debut directorial feature. This filmmaker, it was her first film. What is her name? Molly Maggie. It's Molly Maggie or Maggie Molly. She's got two first names that are both M's. Molly Maggie, Maggie. But there's a last name too, and I can't think of it right now. How to Have Sex. Really loved it. Really thought it was a strong film. I'm glad that I opened the festival with three straight female directors. I saw a movie after that called I Told You So that was the second film by a woman director from Italy, an Italian director. Danny Houston was in that film. I was in the Kevin Costner movies with Danny Houston. Danny had a few scenes with Danny Houston, and Danny Houston speaks Italian in that movie, which I didn't know he does. And it was cool to see him act in Italian for most of the film. He was born in Rome, and he speaks Italian like a Roman quite well. So that was cool. Then I saw my friend Douglas Smith in a movie called Seven Veils that is an Adam Egoyan movie. Stars Amanda Seyfried and Doug Smith was also in the Horizon films with me, the Kevin Costner movies. And Doug and I got to go out and hang out afterward and, go hang out with the Manitoba Film and Music, I guess, commission. They were having a party, and that was fun. That was nice. I saw a movie after that called Sing Sing. Now, this for me is the movie of the festival. I know I said I wasn't gonna like really tell you what I thought about anything, but like this, Sing Sing's the best one. And I just want to say, I want to go on record. I went on record on my social media, and I'm gonna go on record on my podcast saying I think that this movie will be nominated for Academy Awards. I think this movie will get a distribution deal, will be in theaters, and will be a big movie in the awards circuit. There's a storyline in there that I'm keeping my eye on that I really want to happen. This movie is about Sing Sing Penitentiary in New York and this program that they started in around 2005 where they put on plays with inmates and the rehabilitative nature of theater and the arts and just giving people something to care about, giving incarcerated people humanity, giving them something that they can be proud of. I was incredibly moved by this film. I cried the entire way through. But the really cool thing about the film is most of the actors in the movie, most of the characters in the movie that are based on these people who actually started this program back in the mid-2000s, most of them are played by the real people. So the real guys that were actually incarcerated at Sing Sing that started this program who are now who have since been released from prison, they play themselves in this movie and they're all incredible. They're just like so wonderful to watch. They're all such great actors. The only one that's a real Hollywood actor is Coleman Domingo, who's also incredible, who I think could win an Oscar for this movie. But this is the storyline that I have my eyes on because there are two real main characters, and it's Coleman Domingo and this other guy named Divine Eye. That's his nickname, Divine Eye, Clarence Macklin, Clarence Divine Eye Macklin. And I was convinced watching the film. I was sitting in the audience and I thought, okay, so all these guys are like the real prisoners. They're the real deal. But Coleman Domingo and this other guy are real actors. And you can tell that like Coleman Domingo and this other guy, they're like the real like heavy hitter actual actors. No, just Coleman Domingo, it turns out. And the other guy is the actual guy. Clarence Macklin plays himself in the film and gives just an astonishing performance. It's just such an incredible performance. It's so nuanced and brilliant, and he seems so confident and calm and collected and like he's done it before a million times. I went up at this actor was there at the theater, and I went up to him and I shook his hand and I said, "That's one of the best film performances I've ever seen in my life. I think you're going to win an Academy Award." And I really fucking hope he does. After that, I saw a film called Fingernails with Riz Ahmed and Jesse Buckley. Very, very good. Very solid. And that's probably in second place for me at the festival right now. And I saw Chris Pine's movie, Pool Man. So I've just been seeing a bunch of movies, a bunch of movies. I'm going to a film on Friday with Benicio del Toro in it. And then on Saturday, the film that I'm in, Riddle of Fire, premieres at midnight. And I'm very excited for that. So I got to get over this cold. I got to get through the worst of this cold so I can get, I can have a good time going to the premiere of the film that I'm in. It's really weird. It's really surreal, I gotta say, being here. there's a lot of imposter syndrome, and there's also a lot of like, I don't know, like my first night here, seeing that Patricia Arquette film and watching Patricia Arquette and Willem Dafoe up on stage doing a Q&A afterward, I had this feeling of like, there was like this voice that came into my head that was like, yeah, you're here, and yeah, you're in one of the movies that's here, but you're not them, okay? Like, don't get it twisted. Patricia Arquette and Willem Dafoe were flown out here by the production studios that made their film. They were put up by those production studios. They're not paying for an Airbnb. They were driven to this theater by a private driver that they're not paying for, and they will be driven back to wherever they're staying, or maybe driven straight to the airport, and they will fly out to whatever next project they're doing. Don't get it twisted. You're lucky to be here. You're not them. And Like, I don't know. I got that feeling, and I've gotten that feeling a couple other times watching some of these movies, that it's like, you're not like these people just because you're in a movie here. But I don't know. You know, like, first of all, I think that's fine. First of all, I think it's not necessarily a bad thing that Willem Dafoe and I are not at the same level in our careers. That's okay. I don't need to be at Willem Dafoe's level to enjoy the fact that, like, I'm here in Toronto at the Toronto International Film Festival. It's, like, one of the five biggest film festivals in the world. I mean, literally think of which film festivals you can name in your head. Cannes, Venice, Sundance, Tribeca, Toronto. Can you name another one? I don't know if I can off the top of my Melbourne. I know the Melbourne Film Festival because the movie I'm in was also at Melbourne. But yeah, I don't need to be Chris Pine directing, you know, showing off my directorial debut. I don't need to be Riz Ahmed or Jesse Buckley to enjoy the fact that, like, this is my life right now. For this week, I get to be here in this city, and I get to appreciate this art form that I am so in love with and that I'm obsessed with. It's been the trip of a lifetime. Like, I honestly might make this an annual tradition, whether I'm in a film here or not. But because I've enjoyed this city so much, and I've enjoyed the locals and the local cuisine and just the local vibe. And hey, like, you know, I'm not fucking nobody. Like, I was kind of walking around town feeling like, oh man, maybe the first couple days, like feeling like, oh, you know, that anxiety of like, what if I don't adequately enjoy this trip? Maybe I made a mistake coming on this trip. I don't know. Maybe it was silly of me to like buy a ticket and fly all the way out here and spend all this money, like when I'm just like a side character in this kind of small film that doesn't have any movie stars in it. Maybe I'm making too big of a deal out of this. And all of this is going through my head, and I'm going to a film. I was on my way to see a movie, and I wanted to pop into a restaurant to get dinner beforehand. And all the restaurants are packed because it's TIFF, you know, like, and everybody's here. I pop into this restaurant and I ask the host stand, I say, I don't suppose you've got like bar seating. And they go, our bar's totally full. And I go, do you have a table for one right now? And she goes, no, we are totally booked. We wouldn't have anything for like the next hour and a half. As she's saying this, okay, I've been walking around thinking, I'm not cool, I'm not Willem Dafoe, why am I here? All this stuff, imposter syndrome out the wazoo. As this host is saying, I don't think we have a table for you. The manager comes over and he goes, make it happen, make it happen. We've got a table for you. Takes me by the hand and goes, I'm such a huge fan of yours. I can't believe you're here. We absolutely have a table for you. And I mean, that's never happened to me. That's never happened to me anywhere. It's never happened to me in Salt Lake City, where I always seem to bump into people who know me from the internet. I've never had a manager at a restaurant roll out the red carpet like that and say, we absolutely have a table for you, sir. And he made my meal 50% off. He brought me drinks. He was like, what are you drinking? I was like, I don't drink. And he was like, I'm going to make you something non-alcoholic. And he made me two different mocktails to try. He was like, I'm going to make my two favorite mocktails for you. His name was Josh. The restaurant was called Mark's. I highly recommend if you're in Toronto to check out Mark's and say hi to Josh. He made my fucking day. He definitely was a huge highlight of my trip. But yeah, and like since then, I mean, that's happened. It's happened several times since then, you know? I was really intentional about my outfits for this trip. I packed only a few things, but I had very specific ideas on how I was going to mix and match them. And I was like, I want to look fly while I'm walking around Toronto. And I was walking around Toronto the other day, and I was a little bit worried about my outfit because I was like going hard on some like matchy-matchy. I was wearing like a cream shirt with cream corduroy pants and like a blue button-down jacket shirt and a red hat. And it was like very bold and poppy. And I was like, I don't know if this is a little too much. Come around a corner and this photographer pops out and he's like, hey, can I take photos of you? And I was like, oh, sure. And he's like, I'm taking photos for a magazine for like best of TIFF or best dressed of TIFF. And he's like, and I'll need you to sign a release, but like, I'm just going to snap a few photos. We had a great conversation, had a great little photo shoot. And I was like, hell yeah, dude. Like, dude, Toronto's got me feeling good, man. Even with this cold, even with my editing software deleting 70% of my fucking audio on my YouTube video that I spent 5 days editing, Toronto's got me feeling good. After that movie Sing Sing that I saw, I'd been, you know, crying for like 3 hours straight. I was so just like I was just dazzled by it in a daze. I go out into the lobby and this girl approaches me and goes, are you Austin Archer? And I go, yeah, hi. And she goes, oh my God, I saw on the internet that you were here and I was hoping I would run into you. I'm so excited. Can we take a photo together? And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like still kind of reeling from the film. And then I just look at her and I'm like, I've been crying for the last few hours. And I was like, you have to see this movie. You must see it. And it was probably a very strange interaction for her. But the bottom line is, you know, I don't know. Fuck the haters, fuck the imposter syndrome, like, whatever, dude. Like, I am where I am. I'm at where I'm at. I heard something today, I heard an affirmation today that was like, you're right on time for your life. And it's like, this is where my life has led me at 35, 25 years of trying to do this, 25 years of auditioning for TV shows and movies and plays, straight 25 years of rejection and 25 years of close calls and almosts and projects that felt like they would lead to something else but ultimately didn't. And I've hung in there, man, and I've kept going and I've kept pushing and I've kept putting one foot in front of the other. And like, yeah, I'm not where Doug Smith is, I'm not where Amanda Seyfried is, I'm not where Willem Dafoe is, but I'm where I am, and I like where I am. I like being where I am. I think being where I am is pretty fucking cool, to be honest. I don't really know what this podcast was about. I think I was just kind of gushing about my vacation to all of you and bragging. I hope that that's all right, and I hope that you will allow me a little bit of joy this week, and I hope that my joy can be infectious and spread into your day and carry into your week, and that you can also be excited to be who you are, where you are, and to be living the life that you're living and having the experience that you're having and recognizing that your experience is enough. Can you hear the AC that kicked on about 5 minutes ago? Can you hear that now? I don't know if you can. But there's a very loud AC in this Airbnb, and that rhymed, don't you see? Tee-hee. All right, baby. I think that's the end of this quick and dirty podcast. Love y'all so much. Thanks for popping in and being cool. Go check out that YouTube video that I made. Go check out Little Victorian Boy's sketch, Feral Man. It's on Little Victorian Boy on TikTok, Little Victorian Boy on Instagram, Little Victorian Boy on YouTube. I've been making sketches with Colin and Kara lately, and this is my favorite one we've made. I'm so proud of it. I think it's hilarious. That'll make you laugh today. If you need a good laugh, go check that out. Yeah, that's what's up. next week I'll be back in LA, back in the studio. So let's just keep on keeping on. People Pleaser is written, edited, hosted, and produced by me, Austin Archer, with original theme music also by me. You can find more of my music by going to austin-archer.com or austinarchermusic.bandcamp.com, Austin Archer on Spotify or Apple Music, patreon.com/austinarcher. That's where it's at. People who are subscribing over to patreon.com/AustinArcher are keeping this show alive. They're keeping my YouTube channel alive. They're keeping me alive. The patrons over at patreon.com/AustinArcher, you truly are the wind beneath my wings. I love you endlessly. I am eternally grateful for your immense generosity. If you're out there and you want to support this show and you have the means to throw $4, $5, $10 a month at me and at this show and at this production to keep it alive and keep it kicking, we'd love to have you over at patreon.com/AustinArcher. All right, okay, that's it. Take care of yourselves, take care of each other. We'll see you next week. Love you so much. Bye bye.
Sensitive should only mean that I'm in touch with my emotions. Shouldn't mean that I take everything way too personally. Being self-absorbed should mean that